want all the time to teach on this. It's we are finishing up Revelation chapter 5. By the way, hi, honey. How are you? Good to see you. Amen. I think I saw you around 6 this morning. But you're home early. No, good to see you. So we talked about, make sure I'm in the right spot here. Revelation, I think we did the whole chapter 5, didn't we? And we talked about the right hand of authority. There was the book, the scroll, if you will, and it had the seals upon it. And nobody could open that book, and no man could look upon it. Nobody on the earth, in the earth, you know, nobody on Pluto, nobody in Mars, nobody. But Jesus came, remember that? As the Lamb, and he was the one. John cried about it because he's like, oh my gosh, there's nobody can do this. I'm standing in heaven where nothing's impossible. But here comes the Lamb that was slain. Remember about that teaching, Jesus will forever have the scars in his body. This is how incredible his love is for you. If you ever have a doubting day and a depressed day, you need to go back and realize that the Lamb of God in his marvelous, miraculous form before the foundations of the earth decided to come down, be wrapped up in the womb of a virgin daughter, a virgin girl, and become a living human, if you will, in a body, and then take that glorified body and forever be scarred. That's amazing to me. I know you love me, but I can't even get you to loan me a buck or two. He loaned his whole life. He loaned his whole identity. He was so enamored. I might take another 30 minutes. But he was so enamored by loving us that he chose to be connected and identified with us for eternity. That's amazing to me. So I don't care what the devil says about me. My God loves me. And he didn't make no junk. I like those shirts. God didn't make no junk. And then finally in verse 12, it talks about how heaven is loud, and I believe the church should be loud too. If you want to go to a quiet church, you can go to Church of St. Mary and Lazarus and whoever else. Amen? You go to some Catholic church or Episcopalian or some other alien, but I'm going to get in the house of God where the fire is at. So notice the blessings, sevenfold blessings to God. I believe those sevenfold blessings can come back to you. And if you're not hitting in one of these areas, then you need to give God all them and watch it come back to you. Amen. That's just the law of sowing and reaping. All right. I got to get into tonight to get this thing rolling. Don't forget October 17th is our love feast to get together. We'll be having a sign-up sheet here shortly what you can bring. Amen. Looking forward to that. Okay. Go to Revelation chapter 6. Now, I'm going to teach this probably in a different way than you've been taught before. Just the way that is, and you have to listen and learn and go through the process with me. Is that okay? Because I want to bring you to an understanding. First of all, I believe by the Holy Spirit witness and by my relationship with Him, we are in Revelation chapter 6 right now. I asked the Lord. It's been about a year or two now. I asked the Lord, I said, where are we in the book of Revelation? And he revealed to me Revelation chapter 6. So this is why I'm excited about teaching the book of Revelation, is because this is now. We're in this right now. I want you to write that down somewhere. This is now. This is now. We are in this hour of the revelation of the will of God in the last days. And I'm going to show you some things, again, that you may not have seen before or you're taught a little differently, and that's okay. You can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm going to use Scripture, okay? Amen. We're going to use Scripture. All right. We're going to stay virtually, it looks like, in the first two verses here because of what needs to be said. So let's go. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. The noise of thunder. Literally what he heard was a blast. A blast. I want you to write that down. The noise means a blast of thunder. Beautiful. Love the rain. Well, I love a rainy night when Jesus is here. Oh, I thought we could change that. The word, I want you to write this down, for thunder is B-R-O-N-T-E, brontē or brontē, it's how it's pronounced, brontē, and that is 10:27. And the root word is B-R-N-E, excuse me, B-R-E-N-O, Breno, B-R-E-N-O. And the reason I want to bring this out for you is just kind of stretch this teaching out and let you get a good understanding. The word for noise is a blast, but the word thunder in the root word means to roar. To roar. Write that down. To roar. Like a lion. All right? So why am I taking you there? Why am I telling you that? Read it again. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the blast or the sound of a roar of one of the four beasts. And what I want you to see is this, that remember Matthew is what in relation to the 12 tribes of Israel, is in relation to Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah. So the first seal is pronounced with the roar of a lion, of the first living creature. Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting how that begins with a roar. Say, Pastor, why doesn't the book of Revelation just lay it out plain? There's a reason for it, because God doesn't want everyone to understand the book of Revelation. What? Yeah. You say, what does that mean? I'll tell you this way. Jesus said this, I write to you, or I speak to you in parables. Why? Because in parables, you'll seek to find the answer. If I tell it to you plain, you're just going to hear it and let it go. And you come to me just for the bread. You come to me just for the satisfaction or whatever I can give. But it is a king who goes after the matter. And so the book of Revelation is written in so many symbolic forms so that we who love him and want to know of his appearing and know of the last days will dig in and will look. He loves that when we do that. Amen. If you give a child everything he ever wants in his life without making them pay a price for it, they end up being a brat. Selfish and most likely be a thief and all kinds of societal issues. But if you make somebody work hard on the sweat of their brow, come on, somebody. I used to have a friend who always got allowances, and you probably had friends like that, and they didn't do anything. And you're over there busting your knuckles, and you might have got two nickels to rub together. But guess what? You're still standing, and they're sitting in a jail cell. Come on, somebody, help me. Or probably dead. So I want you to see that. That's a kind of interesting start out, isn't it? And so those are just a little teaching information that you can have. But what we're going to see are prophetic sequences, because what happens from Revelation chapter 6 all the way to the end deals with the seven seals. Write that down, the seven seals. One of my problems I'm going to have with teaching this is I just want to run and teach it all. But you really need to slow down and hear it all so you can get an understanding of where we are. Because I'm going to tell you, this is going to help your eschatology and help you explain to people where we are in these last days. So these are prophetic sequences. If you look at what I'm about to teach you over these next couple weeks, as it takes to get through at least to maybe verse 8 or 9, is this. If you have a dispensational view of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I don't have them up there tonight, but if you have a dispensational view, you are going to miss what I'm going to teach. Even if you don't have a dispensational view of your own, your books, your Bibles that have commentaries, most of those guys do. Matthew Henry and so many other great scholars, great commentaries. They have their own view of what these four end time apocalyptic horsemen were. And if you follow that, you're gonna go wrong, because it's not dispensational. It's in sequence, but they're prophetic events that happen one after another. Does that make sense? So what I'm telling you is this. When we get to this first rider, and I begin to teach on this, this rider is already out of the barn. He's on the earth. This rider's moving already. That's why when I point up there and I got my horses up there, and I'm like, they're already out of the barn. They literally are already out of the barn, and they're doing their work. Okay? I'm going to prove that to you tonight. All right. So we'll go back to verse 1, and I saw the Lamb open the one of the seals, and I heard as it was the noise of thunder or a blast or a roar of one of the beasts saying, come and see. Now, in the original Greek, where it says come and see is not in the translation. This is just, I'm just teaching you something here. It doesn't make any difference. Don't, you know, God hasn't fallen off his throne. It's just, it doesn't say it that way. The word for come really should say go. Go. Okay? It's not going to change theology. It's not going to change anything about what's going to be said. It just shows the scene a little different. It's saying, instead of saying come and see, he was saying go. Go. Go what? Go behold what's about to happen. Okay? That's just something I wanted to show you there. Is it going to make a difference in eternity? No. But it's just scholarly understanding. So he's saying to him, come on, come here. Verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse. I want you to write down the white horse. White horse. Now the word for white is lokos. You remember lokos from the beginning. In the book of Revelation, we are teaching, it means what? Brilliant light. Brilliant light. So here's this horse. It's brilliant white. Just full of light, if you will. Now, next to that, I want you to write down purity, peace. Okay? Purity, peace. Good. All right. You can also write victory next to that. Tell me when you have all that. Okay, so it's a brilliant looking horse. It has brilliant white to it and brilliant light to it. And he that sat upon him had a bow. Just write that down, a bow. Just write bow. That way you got it next to there. And I'm going to go through all of it in just a minute. And a crown, put a crown, was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, most of us in this room have been taught, and a lot of your commentaries say that this is Jesus. And I'm going to show you later on in comparison, this is not Jesus. Okay? This is not Jesus. But the early church fathers, and through seminary, and through teaching, and through your commentaries of your Bibles, have said this is Jesus because he comes on a white horse. This is not Jesus because there's too many things here to prove to you it's not him. So can we do that? Can I begin proving to you this is not Jesus? And tell you who it is, okay? So here he is. He's on a white horse, and he has a bow. Now, next to that bow, I want you to write, no arrows. No arrows. It's just a bow. No arrows, only a bow. Okay? And the next thing, it says, and a crown was given. The word for a crown there, I'm going to give it to you later. I'm not going to tell you now. But the word for crown there is not the same as a king would receive a crown. This is a winner's crown. That's all I'm going to say on that because I'm going to do a comparison later. Some of y'all looking, where is he going? And the next thing I want you to see there was given to him. It was given to him. In fact, when we look at the four horsemen, you will find that everything they receive and everything they do is given to them. Okay? Now, again, to prove this is not Jesus, because again, many scholars are like, hey man, this is Jesus, and I read all of it and it's like, no, it's not him. Is because this, the same lamb that opens the seal doesn't have time to go jump on a horse. That's not what he was doing. He didn't open the seal and say, hold on a minute, and then jump on the horse. That's another reason. The other reason is these four horsemen, and I'm going to give this a little bit of information, and I'm probably going to say it again and again until I get done with the horsemen, but these are God's horsemen designed by God to carry out his business. Let me show it to you in Zechariah real quick. Hold your spot here. Go to Zechariah 6 real quick. We're not going to stay long there. Let me know when you get there. Zechariah chapter 6, Old Testament, page 1160 in my Bible. I'm going to go ahead and start at verse 1. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked and beheld that there were four chariots out from between the two mountains, which means that there's boundaries. You'll notice later on in the book of Revelation that everything the devil does is in boundaries. Isn't that great? The devil can only mess with you, only do certain things at certain times in boundaries. But let me go on. And there were mountains of brass, and the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot were black horses, and the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot were grizzled and bay horses, which I guess that's spotted horses is what they say. And then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto thee, these are the four spirits. Everybody say four spirits. These are the four spirits or the four winds of heaven which go forth standing before the Lord of all the earth. Now go back to Revelation 6. So Zechariah gives us just a little prophetic insight into the future to see these horsemen. But it's defined for us what they are. They are the four spirits or the four winds, if you will, of heaven who stand before God. Amen. What does a horse do? A horse is one that goes forth. It always brings something. A horse is a worker, isn't it? The horse brings in something. Now, according to Jewish history, the beast of burden of choice was not a horse. It was an ox. It was a mule. But in Oriental times, a horse was used for work, but it was also used for war. Okay? So I hope you're writing some of this down or catch it on the CD, because this brings us all together as we go through the horses, that this horse is going to be used for war. It's going to be used for work. Work. Okay? You got it? All right. Remember, always the good cowboys always wore white hats, right? Okay. Well, this cowboy here is wearing a white hat, but it's a hat of deception. Okay. So let's go back. And I saw a white horse, and he that was on him had a bow. So the bow he had in his hand represented a weapon, but there was no arrows. There's no ammunition. Okay. And then he had a crown, but the crown that was given to him was one for victory. What does that mean? Look at the next part of that verse. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. The word there for conquering, what one pastor called it, subdue, but it really translates to overcome, to overcome. You can say overcome by subduing, that's fine. It also says prevail, given the victory. So this particular horseman who has the bow and has a crown goes around subduing and taking victory in his subduing and overcoming. Okay? Now, I'll go into that crown just a little bit. The crown was a wreath. I want you to write down a wreath. a wreath. It was the kind that you got in the Olympics when you won. You know, they still have something like that today. It's the same thing they've been doing all the time. So this crown was a wreath. It was basically something given to a winner. Okay? So whatever this fellow's going to do, he's going to be good at it. Because he gets a crown. But it also represents authority. He was given authority to be the victor in conquering. He was given the prize, the reward, if you will, the authority, the power, the dominion, the space and time to overcome those to whom he will deal with. Okay? Now, how is this going to happen? How is he going to overcome? Well, let me first say it this way. What you're looking at is the Antichrist. But it's more than the Antichrist as a person. I want you to write this down. This is the system of the Antichrist. This is going to be geopolitical. This is going to be ecumenical, which is religious in nature. It's going to be economical. It's going to be societal. It's going to be basically every tenet of society. It will be able to affect every aspect of life, this particular movement. Okay? So, technically, it is the Antichrist, but it's the Antichrist system. All right? Everybody got that? Okay, so let me break it down some more, and then we're going to do a comparison here in just a little bit to show you and prove to you this is not Jesus. He has the bow and he has no arrows, and he's on a white horse. The white horse is a counterfeit to the white horse of Jesus Christ. And so the system that is here now is a counterfeit system that's going to take everything that God does and counterfeit it. Come on. Everything that God does, the Antichrist system will come in and counterfeit it all. What is that? That's called deception. Everybody here with me still? It's called deception. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Hold this right here. Go to Matthew 24. Let me show you something here. Let me put this together for you. Matthew chapter 24. I'm not going to stay there very long because we're going to get back to it later on. Jesus is over by the temple, verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. And disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answering and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." The first thing Jesus said, and four times later, total, he said what? Let no man deceive you. Now, if you took in a transparency form Matthew chapter 24 and you laid Revelation chapter 6 over it, you would find parallel events. Jesus was speaking Matthew 24 as he did Revelation chapter 6. Okay? That's why I said it's in sequence. Because other scholars have said that the first horse, the second horse, the third, the fourth, they all represented kingdoms in the Roman times and so on and so forth. And that's not it. That's not true. And the reason they use that, one of the reasons, is because they just didn't understand what God was planning to do on the earth. They couldn't imagine it happening in the future. Number two, your pre-tribulational people believe the rapture already took place. But I'm going to prove again that's not true. It can't be because of what I'm going to tell you. But back to Matthew chapter 24. He said what? Deception was going to take place. So the white horse is the Antichrist, but it's the spirit of Antichrist that brings in deception. That's why he has a bow with no arrow. I'm using my authority over you. I'm wielding this weapon when all along he ain't got nothing. And see, and so that's what's happening today in the world, that the enemy is wielding a weapon, a threat to society, when really he has no strength. Okay, And again, it's in every area of the world, including the church. We have never been under deception like we are today in the body of Christ. How anybody could have voted for this president, voted for these people in office, and have the rightness of mind while we're destroying baby parts. I don't know where your soul is. For any of these guys. I just say take them all to the meal factory. Let's get some glue out of them and start over. Come on, help me out, church. How that anybody can with a straight face say, I love Jesus and support Planned Parenthood? Or a woman's choice. It ain't your choice, honey. It's God's choice to put that child in you as a miracle. Let me go on before I start acting like it's Sunday. So go back. I'm done with that because there's just too much there, and I don't want to bog you down in 24. So go back to Revelation chapter 6. So I saw this white horse, and him that sat upon it had a bow. So he had a white horse, which represents peace, but it's really deception. What has marched across the church today is a false, it's deception, it's false teachings, it's doctrines of devils. We got preachers preaching stuff, I mean, just crazy stuff, saying one day the devil's going to get saved. That all inclusionism, that one day hell will spill up, it's dead, and they will all be forgiven. There's preachers preaching there is no hell and no devil. There's preachers preaching that you can have any type of relationship you want as long as it's love, because God is love. And taking away the purity of doctrine and being deceived and looking at people with big money, big buildings and big stuff, saying, that's got to be God. Listen, it's deception. And that's what the first horse does. So what has been happening is the first horse of deception, ridden by the Antichrist, the horse being the system, has marched and has paraded and has plowed, has pranced, has paraded through the church, through the political system, through our nation, and through the world, to where the whole world is deceived. That now they just stand there in awe when a man in a white suit stands up and starts talking all kinds of humanistic things, dogging out Jesus and castigating him and ridiculing him and on all these things. And people just sit there and say, oh, the voice of a God has spoken. Is anybody here today? That's what just paraded through our nation these past couple days ago. That's what's been going on through all the nations of the world, is this Antichrist spirit. And listen, the Antichrist spirit is conquering without firing a shot. Now again, I don't care. I don't know what you were taught when you was a child about who this is, but that is not, it's not Jesus. It's a conquering spirit, and he's already out of the barn working in the minds and the hearts of churches and the hearts and minds of presidents and corporations and all kinds of seven mountains, as I taught on Sunday. The seven mountains of God, the peaks of society, has influenced all these areas. Isn't that right? So, you know, we look at these prophecy books and prophecy movies, and we're seeing this horse and this guy. Listen, it's already happening to where deception is already here. And what is he doing? He's overcoming. He's conquering, and to conquer what? Everything in his way. All the seven mountains. All the aspects of society. And we don't even know it. And we're teaching all kinds of prophecy. And there's coming a day, I'm telling you, the gospel. It's already happening. It's already happening, Brother Mike, and we're waiting for some boom, bam, and all this different stuff, when the devil, who is what? An angel of light, has transformed himself and has manipulated nations, has manipulated mega churches and denominations to the point we are deceived. And everybody's still reading Left Behind books. No, honey. No, honey, that ain't how this thing works. We need to read the Bible, not a book. Because if you read the Bible, you'll find out most of those books are junk. Most of your prophecy books and mine in my office need to be burnt. Why? Because they're not right. They're sequenced wrong, and they make wrong thinking for the body. We should have been attacking this Antichrist spirit in the church instead of beating each other up. We should have been saying, well, I won't use that word. We'll just say, heaven, no, you ain't bringing that in here. But see, if you don't know the Bible, if you don't get taught right, you don't know right. And if you don't know right, you don't think right. And if you don't think right, you don't live right. And if you don't have it right, you can't pray right. Let's go back. So look at it. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow. He had a bow. He had a bow. And a crown was given to him. In other words, he had authority to go out and deceive. He had authority to go out as a quote unquote counterfeit prince of peace. Why? He was one of the seven spirits of God. One of the desires of God to be sent out in the last days. You got to remember this. The devil is still God's devil. He is still God's devil, and he will do exactly what God tells him to do, and he can do nothing more outside of that parameter. Do you know nothing else will happen in the book outside of the book of Revelation than what's already written? Wee-wee! Now that's bad and terrible in itself, but guess what? When all hell is coming against us in high water, we can look to the book and say, that's as far as he can go. I'm going, no, no, no. That's as far as he can go. Isn't that beautiful? Because he's limited. That's the beauty of knowing prophecy. It's not to scare the beep out of everybody in the room. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you to see something here. All right. Now, you're going to get scared later on. I can't help that. If you don't know the Lord, you'll be all right. If you don't know the Lord, you're going to be scared. If you know the Lord, you're going to be just fine. So he goes on conquering. How's he doing? He's overcoming it with peace. You hear it all the time, man. Let's just be peaceful. Why do you got to dog them out? If they want to be that way, let them be that way. Just be peaceful. No, somebody got to stand up on the standards of the Word of God and fight a little bit. I'm not going to be overcome and conquered by a slick, willy, silver-tongued devil. And that's usually the one that pulls up in church. You know, their tongue rolls out before their feet do when they get out of the car. Wish I had a friend. So he opens this scroll. We begin to see this revelation. We begin to see this scene. Okay? We begin to understand that God is in control because he gave the crown to this system, to this Antichrist, okay? And that lets me know that God is in control. That lets you know that God is in control as well. Okay, remember the Bible specifically says that when there is peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon us. What's going on right now? What were they clamoring all through the UN this week? Peace, 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 peace. Let's change this. Let's do that. Oh, this, oh, that. And all these swelling words. Listen, swelling words. How does deception come? Through words. That's why it's a bow and no arrows. It's not through conquest. It's through words. I want you to write that down. Deception comes through words. And because the enemy's on a white horse, because this system and entity is in a white horse, everybody's thinking, oh, it's got to be right. It's peaceful. God wants us to love. God wants us to be in peace. But God will never sacrifice this word over anything outside of the word. Nothing. I don't care if everybody's doing it. I ain't doing it if it ain't in the word. So you see that with me. Again, this agenda, the 2030 agenda that's coming up, and everything they said, what was full of treaties, full of words, full of covenants, full of contracts. Do you know that more damage has been done through peace treaties than war itself? War liberates in a lot of ways. But peace treaties damn a people. Let me try that again. Peace treaties and contracts and covenants, they constrain people. They choke people. If you would listen to what, and if the Lord wants me to reveal all that and what was going on this past week, I will if he wants me to. I kind of feel in my heart he don't want me to waste his time on it, but whatever he wants to do, I'll do. But there was so much that was done. You know what it's what was done there? It was done to captivate me and you, to control us and to keep us. But guess what? No arrow was shot. No weapon was fired. It was all through words of the minds of men, but really it was the spirit of Antichrist. See, we're thinking of pitchfork and zombies and all these different things, and it's not. Listen, the enemy comes in like a thief. Oh, I got so many places I want to go. Go to 2 Thessalonians real quick. Let's look at this. How much time I got? Oh, it's still early. I think in Japan it's just 1 a.m. or something. I have my phone set on different country times to check what's going on here and there. So if I stay tonight long, don't be mad. Could be Shanghai time. Well. Somebody stole my Thessalonians. You ever had a chapter stolen from you? I found it. I always love when you're praying, you think you get a word from the Lord. It's like Psalms, you know, 2 verse 92. And you're like, really? 92? It goes to like 8 and you're like, oh. It wasn't God doing that to you. You just had too much popcorn. All right. The Lord could have been testing you. All right. 2 Thessalonians, look at this. Let me show to you that chapter 6 has nothing to do with the rapture. You know, chapter 4 had nothing to do with the rapture. Chapter 6 has nothing to do with the rapture, and we're already there, and this is King Jesus going out. Listen, this is one of the teachings that Jesus is that white on that white horse preaching the gospel using the bow with no arrows, and he's conquering. That's an old scholarly definition of that. But let me prove to you that cannot happen. You ready? Now we beseech you, brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering unto him. That's the rapture. He said, let me teach you something about the rapture, that you may not be soon shaken in mind and troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Everybody say, shall not come. Except there coming a falling away first. What is that? That is the apostasy. That is the church of Jesus Christ falling from true doctrinal standards, embracing everything under the sun because the Pope said it, the President said it, so on and so on said it. It's popular, it's trendy, it's on Twitter. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It's got so many likes and now it's wonderful. Caitlin did it. We're all going to do it. And all of a sudden everybody's so trendy and we just embrace it. That's the falling away. Has that happened yet? Yes. Yes. We are in the falling away. We're in the apostate moment of the church. We are in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, where that Antichrist system is in the earth and is conquering without firing a shot. Yes, it is. It's apostasy. But here's the deal. Let's finish it. That you not be soon shaken in mind, be troubled neither by spirit nor by word. Then verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come except they're coming away, a falling away first. And means what? Something second. And that what? The man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. So Jesus can't come and the rapture can't come until two things happen. There's a falling away and the son, the man of sin or the man of perdition is revealed. Well, the falling away is taking place right now. How is it taking place? By Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, with the white horse, the spirit of Antichrist. It's already on the earth. And I'll show you in a little while, not tonight, but I'll show you in a little while, the comparison and the prophetic sequence of how this is all going to take place. Okay? So get away from there. All right? That wasn't a trick question. I wasn't trying to trip nobody up. But the apostasy has taken place. We're in it. How much further can we go? We already embrace gay marriage. Okay? We already embrace sodomy in the church. Married and unmarried. We embrace every form of debauchery known. We're doing worse than ancient Israel was. Tell me how much further the church can go. There's not much further it can go. Okay? So the apostasy, the falling away, has already taken place. It's already in process. Well, how did it take place, Pastor? It took place while this horse has been riding, while this system has been activated. You can go to many, many churches and you will find an antichrist system in operation. From this worship to the attire to the preaching. See, again, we think antichrist has got to be the pitchfork. We think he's got to be this and he's got to be that. Honey, he's wearing a suit. He is wearing a suit. Okay? So remember, all wars begin with words. I want you to write that down. All wars begin with words, because as we progress into these next few verses, you're going to see that. Okay? It all begins with words. Angel of light, I want you to write it down, 2 Corinthians 11:14, so you have that. I'll give you some of these scriptures that I've written down. Something also very interesting is when a general has won a war, normally white horses don't go to war. The first one to get shot is the white horse. Usually a white horse is given for victory. The generals would be paraded on the white horse. Look at that, how beautiful. He made it through the war. This particular horse is going to war, and it's white. Why? Because it already received its crown, it already received its marching orders, and it was already given the victory for what it was going to do and that it was to overcome. It's a sure thing. You see, when the seal was open, this is a sure thing. This is an absolute thing. This will take place. Okay? All right. So I gave you that. Just want to check that. Check this. Yeah, listen to this. Going back to geopolitical, in these notes I want you to see this. The first phase of attack that we as a world have been under is that deception. Is the attack of deception. That's the first foundation of the Antichrist, him establishing his kingdom on the earth, is deception. And he uses the church as one of those foundations. The apostate church, the man-worshipping church. The church that doesn't regard the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. The church that doesn't believe in the virgin birth. The church that doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. The church that doesn't believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. Is that happening right now? Yes, it is. That's the apostate church. That's the church that was prophesied would be in the last days. Okay. So that's what we're looking at now. So back to verse 2, and then I'll make some comparisons. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow and a crown was given unto him. Make sure you write, underline given or put that somewhere. Because everything that begins from here on deals with God giving permission. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Let me see how much time I got left. I got a few minutes. Let me do this comparison. Now, I want you to keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 6. And I want you to take your paper real quick. And just write Revelation or Rev 6. And then put Revelation 9 or Rev 19. Okay, and I should have enough room to do this. We're going to make this comparison together. Okay? So the first thing we have in Revelation 6 is a white horse. I'm just going to go real fast. We got a bow. No arrows. Right? You got that? He has a crown. Okay? Let me know when you got that. I'm going to put C to C. That's conquering to conquer. Okay? Keep your finger there and go to Revelation chapter 9. Again, I don't know how many in here have been taught that that was Jesus, or you've read about it somewhere, or maybe it's in your current Bible. I don't know. But I want to just show you that these are scriptural evidence to prove to you it's not the same, and that this is an Antichrist system that's at work right now. Let me know when you're there. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. So we got a white horse. Put white horse in that column. Because when you debate this with people or you try to explain it to them, they'll say, well, it has a white horse too. And upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head had many crowns. Right, crowns there. You can put many. And I'm going to break those two down in just a minute. Okay? Many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Woohoo! And the armies which were in heaven followed him, that's me and you, upon white horses. Judah said he's going to ride a bull. So if you see a bull in there, hey, God said he'd give you the desire of your heart. Do what you want to do, Lord. Okay? And upon a white horse, clothed in fine linen and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Put that sharp sword. Okay? Sharp sword. That he should smite the nations. He should rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I love that. Now, the word for crown is Stephanos, S-T-E-P-H. Stephanos or Stephanos, okay? And that's going to be 47, see, I wrote it in Greek, 35, meaning I can't read my own handwriting. He's like, he knows Greek. And then for crowns over here, it is diadem. And that is going to be 1238. Okay? So let's look at it real quick. Both are white horses, right? Old-time scholars say, well, that has to be Jesus. Well, this has a bow with no arrows. Jesus never had a bow. He's never put together, connected, acquainted with a bow anywhere in the Bible. He doesn't use a bow. He doesn't need a bow. What is Jesus' weapon? A sharp sword, which is what? The Word of God. So already these two don't compare. Okay? The other part is the crown. The crown, again, was a wreath. It was a victory wreath that you got. You know, they just put together some of this wreath stuff together, made a crown. This is a royal diadem. This is a multi-crowned, multi-leveled crown. This thing was what kings wore. I don't think Jesus is going to wear any more thorns on his head and any more wreaths. He's done. He did that already. Amen. And so now we see him with the many crowns. We see him with the royal diadem. And then you see all the vesture and everything written about him and everything he did. Okay? But again, I brought this out for the specific reason that some people still are taught and believe that this is Jesus and it is not. Now go to Revelation chapter 6. And I'm going to close here in just 1 minute. Remember, this is a prophetic outline. Revelation chapter 6 is a prophetic outline that runs all the way to Revelation chapter 22 of the seven seals. In my conclusion, are you saying, Pastor, that the first seal has been opened? Yes, I am. The first seal has been opened because this system is at work. The apostasy has already taken place. The falling away has already taken place. The rapture hasn't taken place for us yet. Are you still here? I'm still here. Amen. We didn't miss anything. So there's the falling away, and there's the revelation of the son of perdition, the man of sin. We will see the Antichrist. I believe we already have seen him. We just don't have the complete revelation yet of who that is. There are many across the body, and I've never touch this. I have my own revelation. The Lord spoke to me, but I'm not at liberty to share it yet. But there are many, many people who already have the revelation of who that person is. But I think in the coming days, a mask will come off and we will know of a surety who this son of perdition is. Are you listening to me? So that tells us this, that Jesus can't come and he's not going to come. He's not going to come out of order because we're begging him to. He's not going to come out of order because things are bad and we don't like it. He will come in the exact order. That's why everything that's taken place, like we're watching it, you know, and people can put dates and God is sovereign. And he's going to do it when he's good and ready. Right? He's going to do it when he's good and ready. And so what you're watching right now is a revelation of the things of God preparing for the manifestation of the son of perdition. Why is that exciting? Because what happens after that? Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back. But there's a lot we have to go through. So Revelation chapter 6, 1 and 2. That's it. That's the teaching of the white horse. It is the spirit of Antichrist. It's the Antichrist system. It's in operation as we speak right now. And we're going to see it in even greater forms and greater manifestations. And I can't wait to teach the rest to you coming up. Let me bless you. And if you have any questions or whatever, we can talk then. Father, bless your people. Thank you for this word today. Help us to be aware of what's going on around us in this last day so we're not deceived. Lying signs and wonders are coming. Lying signs and wonders, they are coming. They are coming to the church. And they will be popular people. There will be popular people, demonized, who will show signs and wonders and miracles and say this is the move of God. And it won't be. Father, help us to be stable and steadfast in your word so we're not deceived. In Jesus' name, amen.